of February 22nd. As always, it's a Thursday, 2024. We'll call this meeting order. We get a roll call. Decorum, please, everybody. Let's focus up here. No longer on the assembly.
Coming.
She's not here currently. Excused. That's Vice President Letterman. Rusty Swenson is Representative Moitra's proxy.
He's on a Zoom.
On the Zoom. What's our total count? 23. Wow, look at us. All right. Oh, what are we without proxies? Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. All right. We will now move on to the reading of the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gaigahono dispossession, and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Please take a look at the February 15th meeting minutes, and when ready, if I could get a motion on the floor to approve, that would be appreciated. Or amend, I suppose. Trustee Swenson, you're recognized.
So move.
The motion on the floor is to approve the February 15th meeting minutes. Is there a second? There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing none, the meeting minutes are approved. I will now move on to the announcement section of our agenda. First, we'll start with Claire Ting, Executive Vice President Ting.
Hey, everyone. So, we're getting to that part of the semester now where, you know, we've been on the assembly for a substantial amount of time, and the next kind of big thing we have around the corner is spring elections. Now, I spoke with Director Thomas about the timeline, the logistics, and I just first wanted to say that we have a good committee of elections people on our hands. Many of them are involved with Cornell Votes, and VP Letterman and Parikh actually personally recommended some members. So rest assured that our elections are in good hands. But I also want to encourage all of you here to genuinely consider running for re-election, right? Especially if you're a member of a marginalized community. Like, I really want you to hear this, that your presence here and your perspective on this assembly are absolutely invaluable. So please reconsider running. Oh, and the second thing is regarding the expressive activity policy. Patrick and I were at a university assembly on Tuesday where there's been some movement. And the general consensus is that, like, there's this vague understanding of the student body's critique of the expressive activity policy. And what's important to do with that is to put it on paper in ink. So if you go on the agenda and click the link, that's a hyperlink to the expressive activity policy, you'll find the public comment section. And I'm just gonna move that we take 5 minutes for everyone to write some comments down, especially some of the discussions that we had from the last meeting.
Thank you, Executive Vice President Ting. Please do that at your earliest convenience. We will take a couple of minutes right now to for those of you who want to do that. Hopefully, we also will have some constructive debate today about the two resolutions that will be considered. With that, while you're listening to the other speakers for the afternoon, please take a second to go on there and fill out any advice or critiques or comments you have.
Point of
Parliament,
information.
point of information.
I don't know if it's a point of information, actually. Here's a question. When is the is going to be a call for the announcements to the resolution? I mean, to the agenda. I didn't hear that section.
We don't have a that section on our, but you can, if you would like to add an agenda item, you can motion to suspend the rules at any
Yeah,
time.
I would like to motion to suspend the rules to put. It doesn't have a name. I guess it would be Resolution 56 titled 57 titled Suspending the Cornell Interim Expressive Policy to Promote Freedom of Expression is in the box. I'd like to put that to the top of the resolutions calendar.
That motion is in order. Is there a second? All right, the motion on the floor is to add Resolution 57 to the agenda. This does take a two-thirds vote. All those in favor, please raise your placards at this time. No. All those opposed? That does pass. Resolution 57 is added to the agenda.
The motion was to add it to the top of the agenda. Is that
Top of the
recognized?
agenda. Top of the
Top of the resolutions.
resolutions agenda. That is in order. Thank you. All right. Parliamentarian Magard, your announcement.
Yeah, so as you all know, we've recently introduced Resolution 55, which is working on our amendment to the charter. It has been submitted to the Dean of Students, and we are w awaiting her feedback. We have gone ahead and passed it through the Executive Committee. So as soon as we hear back from Dean Love, I hope to get an announcement out to you all about getting it on the floor of the Assembly as soon as possible. Thanks.
Point of inquiry recognized. Don't think so. You can turn it on. Director Thomas, updates from you.
Hello.
Yeah, so I feel really good about our committee. We passed that through exec on Monday, and we've got a very diverse range of individuals from a variety of classes, variety of colleges. I feel very good about. I think that the experience they're going to bring to the committee is going to help us run some very good elections. And I feel really good about where we are. Hope to have a update soon. We're going to be meeting for the first time after the February break, and I hope to have a package soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Thomas. Trustee Swenson, you're now recognized.
Hello, everyone. So 2 days ago, I received an email from Marla Love, and this is just in the spirit of transparency and the fact that I want your feedback before I respond. Basically, I reached out to Provost Kotlikoff and I asked him to come to the student assembly to explain this policy as well as engage in conversation and hear our feedback. So then Marla Love emailed me and asked if she, like how we want to set this up. And they kind of recommend that we do a forum held on Zoom. We do a special meeting time outside the assembly meeting time. We pre-submit questions using a Qualtrics, and we share the summary document in advance of the session. So I just wanted to hear what your thoughts were about this structure. I'll share my personal thoughts first. I personally think in the spirit of shared governance and the fact that Zoom is not ideal, I would love for administrators to come sit at that red table, explain the policy, and then we can ask questions to them and then hear our concerns, and then they can respond to those questions, and then we can have a conversation. But I want to hear what everyone else has to say.
Representative Everett.
So if we submit the questions before the meeting, is that a guarantee that like everyone, and I understand, I mean, is everyone allowed to ask one question and every question gets answered or?
That's a great question. I think and I hope that Patrick will be moderating the discussion. And the answer is yes, because if that's what we want, then that's the way it should happen. Patrick, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think things are a little unclear. Just to give a little background, we requested that Dean Love come speak before the assembly. She said no. And then we talked to Provost Kolakoff, who said yes. And then Dean Love and Donica Varner spawned in our inboxes. And that's how that happened. So it's still a little unclear like what that looks like. Executive Vice President Ting.
Yeah, I just wanted noted on the record that I am personally against having this conversation via Zoom. I don't think that would be a productive conversation. And frankly, all of our presentations have been the most fruitful when they've been in person.
Thank you, Vice President Ting. Vice President Parikh.
Yeah, and then I also think that like it's fine to like have pre-submitted questions, but I think we should also have the opportunity to like ask them follow-ups or like any other clarifications that we may need on the spot. So I don't think it's good to just like limit it to only pre-submitted questions, but yeah.
Representative Rezegan.
I also think that this meeting should happen like during a student assembly meeting so that it can be open to the public as well. I think that this policy affects the entire university, so like people should be allowed to hear their administrators' opinions and see their responses to the students' assembly's criticisms.
Thank you, Representative Rezegan. Are there any dissenting points to this? A question, Vice President.
So I was just wondering, like, okay, like they agreed to meet with us and come to the assembly like via Zoom. Obviously, we're trying to do it in person now. But does that mean, like, did they ever agree to, like, you know, like take into account like line edits to line items, or how is that conversation going to look?
I don't think that they've really agreed to much of anything, which is why I think there's multiple resolutions on the floor today to address some of that. Vice President, you're not Vice President Break. Please don't do that.
Won't let me be silly. I think that's a shame. No, I think we should provide line level edits. I think that would be really important. And I think we probably have a whole lot of a better grasp of what undergraduate students are thinking than some of the folks in the administration right now. So, and then one of the proposals, this include the resolution, is that after this, we would take a couple of weeks to sit down with constituents or co formally record their feedback and have another resolution that had specific suggestions. I can talk about this more later, but I think that might be one way of making sure we get that up the chain.
Thank you, Representative Everett.
I also think it'd be really productive if we had it when we have it in person. I don't think we should have it on Zoom, but if we have representatives from different student orgs on campus as well, I think their input would be very practical. And even though it's important that we have it here in person so it's open to the public, it could get a little hectic if like every community member is allowed to speak. So if we can have an agreement that, like, you know, whatever student orgs want to come here and speak during open microphone to share their perspective, I think that would also show like a very diverse opinion of the student body.
Thank you.
All right. So what I'm taking from this is that we should not do Zoom. They should come in person. It should be public so everyone can come. It should be during the 4:45 student assembly time for obvious reasons. And just finally, so Provost Kolakoff is away until mid-March. However, so therefore, I think we should, I mean, we can write our concerns down on the form piece of paper, but maybe we don't need to express them to the administrators at this meeting. But I think given the fact that this is a new policy and there's been changes to the previous existing policy, the administration has an obligation to come here and explain what is new and what is not new, as well as answer our questions regarding the policy, given the fact that protests are happening on campus now and people are being adjudicated using this code. So I'm going to ask, and I think this is a good compromise, I'm going to ask an administrator to come in to explain the policy to us. We can ask clarifying questions about the policy because we're being adjudicated upon it right now. And then I'll ask if all three of them can come when they are available in mid-March, where we can have an open forum in hopes that we can express our feedback and start a conversation about what's next.
Thank you, Trustee Swenson, and thank you for your announcement. We'll move on to the open microphone section of our agenda. Are there any community members, Cornell community members, who are wishing to speak today? Seeing none, we will move. We do have a presentation listed. However, at this time, I'm going to say it's out of order to move to the resolutions in recognition of Representative Wallen's time today. We will move on to Resolution 57. Is Resolution 57 in the box? Okay. Also, in the for more fruitful discussion, I would like to take a couple minutes for everyone to read Resolution 57 and Resolution 56, just so that people can get a good understanding of what both say. And maybe we can get this done in one resolution if people think that's appropriate, and totally fine if not, but I just think it is important. So please take a couple minutes and read that. Read both of them. You can make that. We give 2 more minutes. All right, we'll get started. Representative Wallen, whenever you're ready.
Okay, hello everybody. So first I want to start off that what is obvious and you're undisputed among us is that there is an overwhelmingly negative sentiment around the interim policy, whether that be the official content of it or the methods in which it was enacted. What we have seen from an influx of articles, comments, side chat posts, Instagram stories, is that there's much disdain for the resolution and the methods around it. What I find interesting is that the administration has used this body to tell the University Assembly and other bodies that there was an overwhelming support for the policy. I heard that from administration's mouth, that there was overwhelming support for the policy by the people they spoke to. And we know that is just not the case. So this resolution is response to that. Protests are happening now, as Representative or as Trustee Swenson said, people are being adjudicated for going to protest, that there is actual consequences that we are seeing manifest due to this resolution. So since you guys all had time to read it, essentially this resolution is just going to suspend the policy, is recommending that the policy be suspended, because there has not been a robust discussion, debate, or input by the Student Assembly. And we haven't had time to engage our constituents, and that we have, once we have the time to do that, then we may either just ask to continue, have it be suspended indefinitely, or have line by line edits, but that the resolution as it is in the way it was implemented is not right. So that's essentially it. There's a lot of things I could get into explain. There's some community sponsors and there's other people who were still trying to sponsor but had to reach out to their clubs. But I was able to speak to different organizations, and hopefully you guys all were able to speak to your friends. And I'm pretty sure you have heard from somebody, what is this interim policy? Why does it feel like they're suppressing students? And I feel like that is kind of, this policy kind of reveals a sort of contradiction amongst administration, how we're literally in the year of freedom of expression. We have t-shirts, we have pins, we have banners, but then now the way you express yourself is being heavily limited. And I think that's just not right. So if you look at the be it resolved clause, is that administration shall suspend it, shall suspend this policy and everything listed within the third whereas clause, and then that we shall engage our constituents. And I know there's talk around Resolution 56. I tried to include stuff about that as well, that the Cornell University Student Assembly, the system of shared governance was developed 50 years ago in a similarly tumultuous time. This building itself was taken over, and then the Willis Street Hall takeover is the reason why the university assembly and the student assembly were formed, and that it's up to us to be able to uphold that tradition of fighting for what is right. So that's all I have to say right now, but I'm open to any comments, anything you have to say.
Representative Everett.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm in full support of this resolution, and I think it's really important that we get it passed, just because students are being penalized for freedom of expression, which is like the whole theme of the year. I had a clarifying question. They didn't consult like any assemblies, right? Like not faculty.
Well, so technically they did consult. They did not incorporate any of the changes that were suggested or given, if that makes sense.
Can I also respond to that?
Yes, you
well,
can.
Well, I wasn't done, because I was going to ask if you'd be amenable to adding that, like not just the student assembly, but like all the other assemblies on campus, like were not considered in the decision making.
Yeah.
You can respond to that.
Yeah, because it's interesting, because they brought it to the university assembly to talk about how they got input, but then university assembly is kind of the level in which that this policy is. It's a university-wide assembly. So they didn't speak to me, who's an undergraduate representative to the university assembly. They didn't speak to Shelby, who is the chair of the university assembly. So I think that would be important to add. So if you have an amendment, I'll be open to hearing that.
Vice President Letterman.
I agree with a lot of the sentiments of this, and particularly I think the pause is very important. I do think, however, before we go to saying, I think we should get into line item stuff, right? That's super important that we have actual feedback to the university. And something that Trustee Swenson pointed out to me that I thought was totally the right question to ask is, on one hand, you've got the university saying, right, university maintains control of our buildings and properties, and this is all New York State law and so forth. And the other hand, we've got the need for freedom of expression, right? And there's a line somewhere there. And a lot of folks here, myself included, feel like the university's gone a little too far over that line. But I think it's very important that a policy will exist. We just need to be very clear with them where the line is from our perspective as a body, and that's our responsibility. And I'm happy for a suspension, but I also think Resolution 56 sort of conveys the history of this and sort of need for consultation in a sort of different way that I think is more targeted and starts procedural. It's about how shared governance wasn't accepted. And then later on, it says we're going to do another resolution about why we should have actual substantive community feedback and telling university how to change their policy specifically. So that is why I am going to move an amendment in the nature of a substitute to strike the entirety of Resolution 57 and insert the text of Resolution 56. And then I'll make a perfecting amendment later to add the pause in.
Question. So your resolution would not suspend the policy, or will it suspend the policy? So I feel like Resolution 56 is just a bunch of whereas clauses. I think that they both, it provides a lot of substantive history, but a lot of these are things that we have expressed. And I feel like they can be implemented here, but I feel like naming specifically why the policy is kind of has authoritarian kind of like messaging and rules is important. I don't think striking the entire policy and then just adding or suspend it would be necessary, because I feel like sense of body is just saying what we feel. And I feel like we've been saying that for the past 2 weeks. I think now it's time to have an actionable recommendation to the student, to the university, because if we just have a sense of body, they already understand that, oh, students hate this.
Thank you, Representative Wong. There is a motion on the floor. The motion on the floor is a motion in the nature of a substitute to take the bill text from 56 and insert it into 57.
I thought the motion was to strike the entirety of 57 and insert the text of 56.
Okay, let me be as clear as I can. The current motion on the floor is to take replace everything in 57 and replace it with everything in 56, and then add to the bill text of 56 things that we want from 57. That is a current motion on the floor. That is the amendment we're discussing.
Would it still be a sense of body?
It could, if it was had an action item, it would turn into a recommendation.
Okay, the, so.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, what you're saying is making sense, yes.
Okay, so there needs to be a second before we go into debate on this. Is there a second? Okay, so now we're debating the amendment to take. We're now debating this amendment. Does that make sense? Nothing's happened.
Yeah, yeah, I know. My question is, like, I guess with adopting that amendment that Clyde is substitution that Clyde is recommending, it's not like fully explaining exactly what is going to be adopted in terms of like words from resolution 56 to 57. Because is it just going to be like one line, or is it going to be like some of the background information as well? Because I think the two resolutions work in tandem, like they serve two different purposes, but I think that they could be easily combined to be like one resolution at the same time. But I think that it shouldn't just be like one line from like resolution 56 added to resolution 57.
I completely agree with you. I think the current amendment on the floor is to strike everything from 57 and then put 56 in there and then add everything from 57 back at the end of 56. So like you're basically taking the whereas, they're just combining them. That is, I think, the current idea that Vice President Letterman expressed in his motion.
Can I just say something?
Yes, since, you can.
Yeah, I would like people to, since you had time, look at the two resolutions and see what is missing from 57 that it's in 56. I did try my best to add the second whereas clause to incorporate the history of shared governance. And then I added how we've been undermined. But if anything you guys feel has been left out from that, if there's anything, yeah, if anything you guys feel has been left out, please let me know. Please raise your placards.
Vice President Letterman, you can also respond.
Sure. Yeah, there are a couple things. And this is just, I think, just, I know it sounds weird amendment. This is just a way of accomplishing, of getting everything together on the same page. One is making sure we actually have the explicit sort of history here, right? So if you look at lines, starting on line 28, and then line 31, I think those two whereas clauses are very important. Those sort of reflect what happened, some of these sort of actual disagreements. The actual substantive process disagreements that we have with how this policy was rolled out. And that's like relates to only the executive committee being consulted and it being done in secret and so on. And then none of the actual of that being implemented. The other thing I think this also recognizes too is that there, right there. The other thing I think this tries to recognize is saying that there are limits, right? You know, we're bound by state law, the rules and the maintenance of public order, which bind the degree to, which actually sort of implement a lot of these sort of substance of the policy. And so what I think is what we're trying to say is that we need to identify where there are tweaks. And so this is just procedural, right? This is just, there are issues with this. We weren't consulted because this concerns the student body so much. We feel like it's really important that the students were consulted and we want to put it on pause for now. And the other thing I think it doesn't have, which is also important, is not getting into the substantive problems the students identify with the policy until we've actually talked to student groups and actually can send the university a resolution that says, look, this is a quote we got from a specific student and an issue that they have, and we'll put that in there. But I think it really needs to be comprehensive and like needs to be assembly directed. And so that's sort of outlined in here, too.
Thank you. I am just going to say real quick, from my perspective, the easiest way to get this done, I think we're pretty much on the same page about what we want to accomplish. And it seems like a lot of this discussion is going to be about technicalities and like, how do we want to format things and stuff like that. In my mind, the best way we can get this done is use 56 as a starting place, put everything everybody wants from 57 in. It could be the entire resolution if we want, doesn't matter to me. And then I think that every single person who wants to should sign on to the resolution as a co-sponsor. That is the way I think it should work. That doesn't mean it's the way that everyone else thinks it should work. That's the way I think it should work.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like everything, I agree with everything. I agree with everything that was just said. But line, can you go back to 28? Line 28 essentially says that they didn't reach out to the bodies. And then my resolutions say there was not robust discussion, debate, input, or vote by the student assembly. I feel like that's saying the same things. And then I'm saying that the history is there of shared governments. I have that in my resolution. I don't call it my resolution. I have that in this resolution because this resolution is in collaboration with other organizations. So I don't want to just speak for all of them. But and then it does say that we shall engage our constituents in full discussion and debates about the policy. So I don't really see what is missing from 57 that 56 has. I think it has more words, but I don't think it's necessarily, I think mine is just more succinct. I try to just say, boil it down and to say the things. I feel like the point of this is to suspend it. And I feel like if we're having something that's not directly just saying suspend it without, then I feel like, what are we doing then? But I don't know.
Everybody else at the front table can respond if they choose to.
Yeah. So I think the key difference between 56 and 57 is that 56 thoroughly explains the history of shared governance at Cornell, the purpose of shared governance at Cornell, and dissents the fact that shared governance at Cornell were not adequately consulted in the formation and implementation of this policy. Further, it kind of explains the nature of the consideration that we gave in a confidential 30-minute meeting, as well as the on-campus constituency, like the trustees, were unaware of this. It further comments on, you know, RMPO. And the big difference I want to indicate in this one, as opposed to the other one, is that this policy, first and foremostly, dissents to the way the policy was rolled out, because that's the most important part to this, despite the content. And before the student assembly can give feedback about the policy that is being put upon us, we need to reach out to our constituents, see what they have to say, and then come back and we'll have a more thorough and comprehensive, you know, understanding of the students' concerns. Because I think if we rush the gun and say, like, these are where we disagree on the policy, you're undermining the fact that the university originally undermined us and the rest of the shared governance structures at Cornell when making this policy in the first place. So that's why I think 56 is a way better starting point than 57.
Executive Vice President Ting. Okay, you can respond very quickly.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to add that, like, in addition, I think it's very important that we specifically, like, say how we got to this place where, like, the student assembly was consulted, that, you know, information that we gave them, the recommendations we gave them were not implemented. And I think that even if we were to give them any suggestions, material improvements to the policy right now, it would not have as much legitimacy if, you know, we just rushed that through rather than actually talking to students, seeing what the problems are, if there's anything that we missed that we can, like, add to the policy or modify further. So I think it's really important to go over, like, the history of how we got to this place, which is what Resolution 56 does, and then, like, take the time to say, you should suspend this policy right now, and we could revisit it in the future without, like, a lot of these problems that we've talked about.
Thank you. Executive Vice President Ting.
Can everyone hear me with this? All right. So I don't disagree with, 56's context to shared governance. In fact, I think it's quite important that we remind admin. However, the way I'm seeing the difference between the two, right, is that 56 reflects a POV from student assembly and other student governance leaders, whereas 57 starts from the ground up. I noticed that in the sponsors list, Haven, Mecha, JVP, and other community organizations were signed on as co-sponsors. So I guess as a clarifying point, actually, first of all, I'll make my point, then I'll ask the question. I think the distinction that we need to make is that, right, one comes from the student government POV, and then another comes from the community. These two, I think there's a line between them, and I think that they can definitely coexist without contradicting. That being said, I wanted to ask Representative Wallen what a lot of the input from Mecha, Haven, et cetera, was that helped shape this resolution.
Yeah. So I'll say the input is basically how the interim policies feel reactionary, and they feel directly in response to the rise of protests on campus, and they feel like they're being suppressed. That's what they were saying. And I agree with that as well. I'm also going to say something that I feel like is an unpopular opinion. My opinion, I do not care that they didn't really reach out about this policy. They make policies all the time. They don't reach out to us. They made a doxing policy with, I guess, input from the student assembly. My issue is not like, oh, they went around us. My issue is the policy. And I feel like maybe not everybody agrees. I feel like that's where we're going to be more split. It's going to be the policy. Maybe some people agree that, oh, the policy shouldn't be in because they had went around us. Maybe some people may feel like the policy is authoritarian. Me personally, I feel like the policy is authoritarian. That's where the issue lies for me. That's why I'm for Resolution 57, because it states and names that. But I could be alone on that. But of course, I agree that, oh, they should reach out and contact, but they don't do that for everything else they do. And I'm not completely opposed to them just having a new policy, because they did it all the time. But what is true, at least for me, is that what they want us to do with protests now is in direct response in the act of suppression of students. But I would be fine with having both resolutions passed separately. I would be fine as long as there's a word about suspension in the other resolution, as long as it says, oh, we suspend it, I guess. But I feel like it's better for us to name it and have the resolution that has the community sponsors, rather than saying let's forget what CPROG, JVP, Mecha, Haven, and the Young Democratic Socialists of America said, and let's have our own resolution, because I feel like that has more input and that represents the student body better than just us in this room. But
thank you. And I'm actually just going to let one of you respond in the essence of time.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And like, obviously, I think the substance of that policy is horrendous. I just think it's important to like from the administration's perspective, if we just tell them what to fix with the policy without giving them a reason about why to fix it, from the sense that like this was wrong from the start because they never consulted with us, right? Like, we can tell them this policy is wrong all day, but at the end of the day, like, to them, we're giving them a reason as to why they have to rethink the policy and why they have to reconsider the policy. And that is because they did not follow the shared governance rules and the precedent that has been set over the last several decades. And I think that's really important to recognize, which is why I think, like, I agree with the fact that we should be like putting community input in and everything, but I think there's an opportunity for us to pass this. And then going forward, we can, you know, talk to all the community groups you mentioned, talk to other student groups on campus as well, really condense all of the recommendations into one policy that like we are proposing. And that way we have a more effective singular response to the administration.
No, you can't. Nope. Representative Everett.
So we're still like debating the amendment that VP Letterman put on the table.
Yes.
I would say that my own point of view, it feels like we keep saying we all agree and we do all agree. However, I think like another big distinction is taking out everything from 57 to then put in 56 and then adding elements of 50. What you said, very, very convoluted. But I'm wondering if we can, I guess not reverse it, but leave Representative Wallen's resolution as is, and then add elements of 57 that we agree with into it. Because I think, you know, also just from a procedural standpoint, we did vote that like our resolutions needed community sponsors. And I don't, is there a community sponsor on your guys' resolution?
156. From what I can see, no. But I do want to say something in terms of, I don't want to call it a compromise, but I think F56 has the word suspend in the title and then says, then explicitly recommends we suspend the policy, then I may be open to having that passed. Then we maybe could table it. Unfortunately, that would mean that we cannot have the community sponsors for this resolution. We'll have to reach out back to the clubs I spoke to earlier and say that they wouldn't be a sponsor of 56, because if they're not agree to that, I don't want to just put their name on something. But I think if we have the word suspend, maybe suspending the interim policy or an expression to affirm the responsibility of shared governments, I guess change the reason we're suspending it, but have it maintaining that we are suspending it. So it's not just a point that they're going to gloss over ultimately. But I think I'll be open to that amendment as well. But
I was going to say, like, just to finish my point, I think we should vote on the amendment that VP Letterman put in place. But I really do think we should keep the resolution as is and then add the elements that we like, especially since there's already community sponsors that agreed to it. And VP Wallen can be like that liaison of what is okay that the community sponsors would probably be okay with in adding to the resolution that they signed on to.
Yeah, you guys can respond.
Yeah, very briefly, I think that, like, I agree with the concept of having community sponsors when we are suggesting specific recommendations to the policy. But the resolution, I think the very important first step is saying that, like, we as the assembly reject the notion that they are proposing this policy in the first place, right? Because the entire process of it is totally undemocratic. It is totally, like, without due process. And, like, yes, community sponsors should be regarded and they should be supporting whatever final recommendation we implement. But for this, I think this is just saying what our perspective as the student assembly is.
So
I would kind of
one person. Something I would say, though, just for everyone's consideration, is that, and I don't know if this is accurate, but I do think it's important to note. I think when the president receives two resolutions, it seems like a choice. And when they receive one resolution, it seems more like a decision from the student body. And I don't think we should seem like we're divided on this issue, even if the resolutions say similar things. But I'm interested in everyone's feedback on that too. All right, Representative Flournoy.
So one thing, I guess there is like to that point, but I guess like before point of information, just quickly, is that kind of the only reason that would be to not have these resolutions just both be passed? I do have a question after, but I just want
that, to... That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. I think that, I guess it might appear as that, but I also feel like that one thing that was mentioned earlier by Vice President Ting was that, like, it kind of covers two bases. It covers, like, the community level and the student government level. So, one, in my opinion, I feel like that both resolutions should just be passed, and it would be, and there's not a need to necessarily strike it. And then I'd also ask if one of these resolutions were to be striked and then like all the texts were added to the other resolution, would that resolution be passed today? Or so, like, what about the editing that we were talking about and like all the amendments? Because like, if people are going to want to make their edits to the resolution, like, one, not everyone's here. Two, there's like not enough time to do that. So I feel like that striking a resolution to add some text of that resolution to the other one, when you could just like pass both resolutions and kind of cover both bases, or just don't pass anything, and which I don't think we should do, but don't pass anything and just take the time to go back and do it. I just feel like you're not like appealing to everyone if you do that.
Can I respond?
You can.
Yeah. So I hope this answers your question. And I'm sorry, I've had fewer than 2 hours of sleep in almost 36 hours now. So if I'm not clear, my apologies. Regardless of which order this came in, we would have done it one way or the other in terms of the striking and adding thing. We just need them all to be in one document. So it's just a procedural move, but it's like, it's sort of neutral from, I think, which place it starts from. What I do feel strongly about with two resolutions is saying that, and this is why I made this motion, and I think why JP Siraj and I are up here, is that we don't want those actual recommendations in until we get like actual written feedback for, like, we should send out a campus-wide email of like, from only undergraduate students and organizations, can you give like line written feedback, right? Like, I think that would be very helpful, and I don't want to rush this process. The other thing, and I disagree with Representative Wallen on this point, the student assembly was actually created because of this very issue. It was created because in the late 1960s, there were serious issues over racial disparate treatment related to judicial policies and anti-Vietnam War protesters being unfairly penalized, right? Like, the whole history of this and the takeover of Lodge Strait Hall and Barton Hall in 1970, where we had 8,000 people, all led to creating the student assembly. And so I feel, and the reason I put over 20 hours a week into this work, and I hope, you know, you all are here, is because I really feel very strongly that this is something that is a crucial element of our university life, right? That people get to, that you all get to be elected by people who express their opinions. And I think if we come with saying, oh, we'll just change these things and ignore the, you know, five half century substance of that consultation that I feel has very strongly been violated here, I think we will be doing ourselves a great disservice. So yeah, Representative Wallen.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because we're both pointing to similar reasons, because the Willis Ray Hall takeover happened because there was a cross burned on Worry House. And also there was a lot of suppression related to anti-Vietnam War protests. And so therefore we had this process to, you know, have a student assembly to represent the people, but also to have input on certain policies. I am coming from the aspect of that a lot of the struggle to create the student assembly was born from a lot of minorities being suppressed on campus. And that is the same origin of Resolution 57. That's why you have CPROG, JVP, Metro Haven, and the Democratic Socialists, because they feel like they're being suppressed on campus. But what I will say is that my main point is just to suspend the resolution. I think the reason why we want to have Resolution 56 be the flagship one is just based off of whose name is on it. I really don't care. So I'm fine with having, just changing the title of 56 to have the word suspended in it and just keeping the response. So I think we're in an amendment right now, so I think we have to vote on that. And then and I don't know how to do that. You're trying to make it.
Okay. So I think we're going to make an amendment now. And you can use seconds. Okay.
Are we debating an
we're
amendment?
Inserting.
Point of order.
Sorry. Aren't we debating an amendment? Don't we have to? Do we have to vote on the amendment that we're making before we make another amendment? I feel like it's getting a little confusing.
No, we can make an amendment to the amendment in the nature of a substitute. Yeah, you can basically do amendments as long as you want. I think the record I pulled from the House precedents was 4 amendments in the nature of a substitute, like 6 perfecting amendments. It goes on and on.
Okay.
I'm going to insert.
In the essence of simplicity, can we vote on the current amendment on the floor first?
And well, then you
can...
No, because I think we wanted to add something in. It doesn't. Wait, we'll just. Can I make this amendment? I'm just going to add the language that Representative Wallen wants. So I move that we insert the following. Resolved, comma, the Student Assembly recommends University Policy 4.23 be suspended until a process for formal consultation may be developed and mutually agreed upon by the University Assembly and the University President, and that the title be amended to Resolution 56, suspending University Policy 4.23 in the interest of upholding freedom of expression. So moved.
I have a point of information.
Point of information recognized.
So just so I follow, we're inserting the line that you just wrote to the amendment in the nature of a substitution, which takes your resolution and replaces, like, puts that text in Representative Wallen's.
The easy way to think about this is if you look at Resolution 56, it's all of that plus what Vice President Letterman just said.
So,
and the title has changed.
So for Resolution 56, it would no longer be a sense of body or a recommendation. And then now it would be explicitly asking to suspend the rules. And then we're changing, putting that into the title. But I don't want to. So yeah, and also keep the same sponsors. I don't think I necessarily would want to sponsor
this one. Okay. If you don't have points on this and you have specific questions about what the amendments are. Okay. Representative Rezica.
Yeah. So while you guys were talking, I've been combining the two resolutions to keep all of the text for both of them in a coherent way that actually like follows to read it. So if you could give me like 2 minutes to finish doing that and like I could add it to the box and you could, I don't care if it's 56 or 57, but it's like all of the words are together from both resolutions and it's going to read coherently. So yeah.
I move that we recess for 6 minutes. Give Representative Rezica time to do that. There's okay. A second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're recessed till 5:47. Let's have some fun. Take your seats. Okay. All right, please take your seat, Vice President Letterman. Please take your seats.
Is the new resolution in the box?
With the consent of those at the front of the room, I would use my presidential power to stop considering the previous questions and consider this new resolution. Is that in order for you guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Second.
Thank you.
Where can I see the new resolution? Is it in the box?
It's getting in the box. It's literally just a combination of the two resolutions.
We gotta check the minutes next time.
Yeah. What's this new resolution's number? 46 or 47? 46.
56.
Thank you. No.
Well, 56 and 57 are like suspended indefinitely, aren't they? Or no?
Oh, all right. So 56 and 57 are suspended indefinitely. This new resolution is 58. We're just trying to get our numbers up there. If we could create some more resolutions and suspend them, we can have the highest resolutions ever presented by the Student Assembly. Let's go. It's getting there. All right, it's on the box. Let's now debate this resolution, which is being considered. Meeting materials, resolution 58. Comments or questions? Motion. Yes, I will give you a minute to read it.
Imani, is it in the February 22nd? Okay. I think there are copies of it.
All right, we will be considering the one with the 11 next to it. That's what I'll make being
the one
next to it. Yes.
Okay.
That's fine. All right. Yeah, you'll have a little more time.
Could you remove, I think, the old line numbers from the previous resolution?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, that has to be enough time for everybody. Yeah, like just 2 more minutes. We're
oh
figuring.
My God. All right, all right.
Christian was right.
Second.
While we're waiting. You guys keep reading. What does everyone think if we like made an outstanding undergraduate award for seniors or something?
No.
No, not on the assembly. Just like in general.
No, I think that's not it.
Patrick, I respond.
Yeah, you can respond.
I think it should be you.
No, I don't want it to be me. I just was realizing there's like not very many opportunities for people's like work to be recognized at the
I
school.
feel like your work should be recognized.
I don't think so. But I was just thinking about that. Thank you. Or like students in general, maybe? I don't know.
I feel like.
Maybe like dopeness. Gotta be lit. All right, that has to be enough time. So, points, comments, or questions?
okay. Okay. So okay, yeah.
All right, let's focus up, everybody. Let's get this done and let's get out of here.
Okay. So amendment to strike lines 43 to 55, just because that is
just restating what the policy does rather than like, I think just cluttering the resolution. And then striking lines 73 to 75 because it is duplicated in 96 to 98. And then...
Can we do these as individual, please?
Okay, sure. Yeah, let's start with just striking lines 43 to 55.
43 to 55. Can you read the... Oh, okay. 43, so the numbered section.
Yeah, the numbered section and then the immediate whereas clause right after that, just basically saying that the policy will be enforced by the university.
Okay. The amendment on the floor is to strike lines 43 through 55. Is there a second? Okay. We are now in discussion on striking that. Representative Everett, if you would like to go first.
Yeah, I just feel like it's very important that we highlight this specific aspects of the policy that students have expressed disagreement towards. I think that, you know, overall, the policy isn't a problem, and we're not saying that the whole policy is the problem. So by having these specific areas, it's showcasing like these are the areas in which students feel suppressed by what this policy stands for. So I think it's kind of important to contextualize which specific aspects students don't like.
You can respond, Vice President Parikh.
Yeah.
Yes, you can respond. It is your resolution.
Sorry. to that note, I would be more willing to like amend the line in the whereas clause, like where it says, whereas the interim expressive activity policy includes substantial restrictions on expressive policy, including like, I feel like that, I feel like it's important to give context that like, not only did like, they make this new interim policy without consulting the student body, the student assembly, which is wrong, but it's also important to recognize that like the policy that they recommended is like very restrictive and authoritarian. Like you can recognize both of them. They don't contradict each other.
How would you feel about instead of your amendment adding line 44 after including but not limited to?
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to make it clear that like it's not, these are like, yes, these are very bad things, but like we shouldn't be boxing ourselves in like these are the only problems. So yeah, that's a
Would you amend your amendment to that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, the current amendment on the floor is 44, line 44, adding but not limited to, including but not limited to, and then those six clauses. There's a second. Is there any dissent to that amendment? Seeing none, that amendment is made. Other comments and questions on the floor? Vice President Parikh.
Okay. Next amendment is to strike lines 73 to 75 because it is saying the exact same thing as lines 96 to 98.
Second.
Can you state that one more time?
Striking lines 73 to 75. Administration.
Because it says the same thing as what?
As 96 through 98.
Okay, that's an order.
I second.
There's a second. Comments or questions on this? Okay, is there any dissent to that amendment? Seeing none, that amendment is made. 75, yep.
And then...
Vice President Parikh.
And then, yeah, the next amendment is... editing lines 70 through 72 to say, whereas this interim policy has a chilling effect on protest rallies and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus.
There's a second. It's to strike 70 through 72 and replace with what?
This interim policy has a direct chilling effect on protests, rallies, and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus.
Okay.
I said dissent.
We're now in discussion on this. Jamal Wallen, if you would like to.
I would want the amendment to be this has a chilling effect, but I don't want to remove the fact or the sentiment that this appears to be a direct response to the rise of protests on campus and globally, because that's obvious. This wasn't a random policy. I don't think anyone is saying otherwise. So I'm fine with having that part, but just leaving the mention that this is a direct response, or at least it appears to be.
Okay. Vice President Ting?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Representative Wallen on that. I think it's important that we do keep the fact that, right, like, this policy does seem very reactionary. I think that's a lot of the that reflects a lot of the discourse that the community has been saying. The comparisons, right? I know even during the assembly's breakfast, we talked about this, that like the timing of it was just very, very either really, really unfortunate or planned. And I don't think it's particularly egregious that, you know, we do think this is in response to broader federal level dynamic shifts.
Thank you. Any responses from the table? Seeing none, other points or motions?
No.
Okay.
Isn't there a motion right now?
Yeah. The amendment on the floor is to strike 70 through 72 and replace whereas this policy has a chilling effect on the campus. Vice President Parikh.
I edit my amendment to say whereas the intention of the interim policy appears to be to create a chilling effect on protests, rallies, and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus. So recognizing the intent, basically, of the administration.
So now the amendment reads, whereas the interim policy appears to be, can you say?
I have it here. Whereas the intention of the interim policy, appears to create a chilling effect on protests, rallies, and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus.
Globally. Okay. So you're basically.
I don't think that's. Can I respond?
Yeah, you can. That's fine.
I don't think that's like a coherent like statement. I'm trying to understand and it don't make sense.
Let me rephrase this.
I agree with that.
Whereas the intention of the interim policy is to create an appearance of a.
But like,
what, can we start at the point of what is your problem with the current wording?
Yeah, so two issues that I have with the current wording. One is I think it's just like a set like grammatically incorrect, the second part of the sentence, and then second is that like I think that we should really be focusing specifically on the Ithaca campus and like the effect of the policy rather than like trying to read too much into the motivations Cornell have. Refresh my page. 1 second. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. And then just really to focus in on like what the effect of the policy has been rather than trying to like fit it into like other political issues that have been going on.
Okay, what about this? Whereas the interim policy appears to be in direct reaction to the rise of protests, rallies, and demonstrations of the Ithaca campus and globally, and creates a chilling effect on our campus.
I think the point Siraj is trying to make is that the student assembly should be focused naively and selfishly, maybe, on what is happening on our specific Cornell campus. We should not weigh in on geopolitical events as much as we want to. I don't think it's our responsibility to. And that's what Siraj is saying, if okay. I may not be mistaken.
Okay. So, in response to that, I'll say that, like, we all agreed at last week's meeting that this is like they're lying about the fact that this is not in response to the rise in protests. If you want to take it out of like a global context, you can just say on campus and strike and globally if that's better. But like this is like the fact of the matter is that there is a rise in protests on this campus.
Yeah, I agree. I think if the issue is any relation to something. Then we can just remove the word globally and globally. We just have it rise on Ithaca campus, even though I do agree it is globally as well, but I guess not everybody has to want that in the resolution. So,
okay.
Can you say what your statement is? Can you restate your amendment and remove and globally?
Okay, yeah. Whereas the interim policy appears to be in direct reaction to the rise in protests, rallies, and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus, and, well, now it's not, doesn't sound nearly as nice.
And creates a chilling effect.
Yeah, that works.
You know what?
Can someone say what this is so I can write this down? My computer's
okay. Whereas the interim policy appears to be in direct reaction to the rise in protests, rallies, and demonstrations.
Slow down a little bit.
It's just the same thing.
It appears to be a direct reaction.
Whereas the interim policy appears to be in direct reaction to the rise in protests, rallies, and demonstrations. And creates a chilling effect on the Ithaca campus.
Perfect. Thank you.
And creates a chilling effect among the Cornell community on the Cornell campus.
Sure. Okay, can you read the amendment as it is?
I can't do it there. Whereas the interim policy appears to be in direct reaction to the rise of protests, rallies, and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus, and creates a chilling effect among the Cornell community on the Ithaca campus.
This is the amendment on the floor. Can you read it one more time for everybody, please?
Okay, the amendment is, this interim policy appears to be in direct reaction to the rise of protests, rallies, and demonstrations on the Ithaca campus and creates a chilling effect among the Cornell community.
Beautifully. Okay, that's the amendment on the floor. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that amendment is made. Other points or motions or comments or questions? Seeing none, I'm going to call the question. Vice President Parikh.
I don't know if this is already have an abstract. I'll tell you that.
That's fine.
I don't know if this is already done, but amendment to get rid of all the line numbers in the first half of the resolution that are just scattered throughout the text.
Yeah, we can clean that up. That's not
okay. There's right. See, there's numbers from the.
It's not a substantive amendment. Okay. Any other final substantive amendments? Seeing none, I'm calling the question. All those in favor of this resolution, raise your placards at this time. Yes, you can. All those opposed. This passes unanimously. Congratulations, everybody. All right, now on to the next item of business. We have there's no other items of business for today.
Patrick, we don't have a title of the resolution.
It doesn't matter. Okay, yeah, that's not a substantive part of the resolution. Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing none, congratulations. The time is 6:15, February 22nd. See you guys after break. Have fun. I'm just talking to you.